James chapter 4. And lately, I've kind of been preaching diagnostically why you don't like church, so forth. And tonight, I want to bring a message I titled, Why You Don't Submit. Why You Don't Submit. I want to start here in James chapter 4, and we'll move to another passage and then come back here. But let's look at James chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. Let me get my glasses back out. James 4, 6 through 10, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray tonight. Father God, Lord, help me to do justice to your word tonight. I know that, Lord God, you have so much here to say to us and that can't even be covered in the time that we have. But Father, I pray that in what I do say, Lord God, you would be in it. And we ask for your help, for the listener, for the speaker, for your glory alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a problem with submission among professing Christians today, and maybe especially among American Christians. We're Americans. What do we have to submit to? But the fact of the matter is that the Christian life is a life of submission. There is submission to God, submission vertically, and there is submission one to another, submission on a horizontal or a lateral plane. The Christian life is a life of submission. We say all the time, and it's true, that the just shall live by faith. And the reason that we say that all the time is because that's Bible. The Bible says that all the time. The just shall live by faith. Repeats that several times in the Bible. The fact of the matter is, though, what does that look like? What does the just shall live by faith look like? It looks like submission. Submission is the act of faith. Submission is faith in action. We say that we walk by faith and not by sight. What does that look like? That's a walk of submission. That's what faith lived out is submission. And I can expand on that. I won't expand on that too much tonight. But if you think about that, you'll realize that that's true, that that's exactly what faith is. When faith is active, this is just driving me nuts here. When faith is acted upon, it looks like submission. That's faith. Is it still on? That's faith. Well then, why don't we submit? Because the fact of the matter is, all across the country and even around the world, Christian homes are a mess because oftentimes a lack of submission. Churches are ineffective in their endeavors, oftentimes because a lack of submission. Even our nation and nations around the world have problems. We have problems in this country, and a lot of the problems that we have is a lack of submission. Submission to God or submission one to another. There are these problems, and they stem so often from a lack of submission. I want to try and help us diagnose why. Why don't I submit as often and in the way that I should? Why don't you submit to God and to one another in the way that we should? Let's diagnose the problem. If you'll walk with me into the clinic is open for business tonight. Let's diagnose the problem. Why you don't submit. Why you don't submit. And if you'll turn with me, we'll come back to James, but if you turn with me to maybe the most extensive passage on submission, it's in Ephesians chapter 5. It starts there anyway. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 15 for context. Ephesians 5:15 for context. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me stop right there and point out to you in your Bible at the end of verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. That's not a period. That's not the end of the sentence. There's a semicolon there. And then the next few verses explain what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You'll find a number of statements or a number of verbs all ending in ing. This is explaining what being filled with the Spirit is. As if I said to you, well, let's just look at it. Be filled with the Spirit. Watch for these ing verbs now. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you seeing these that explain what being filled with the Spirit actually looks like? Are you seeing these? Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And there's the period, the end of the sentence. Did you see all those things that explain what it actually looks like to be filled with the Spirit? What someone who is filled with the Spirit is constantly doing. And we find one of those is submitting. Let me ask the question and begin to try to answer it. Why you don't submit? Perhaps it's because you don't understand submission. Perhaps it's because you don't understand submission. That's point number one. Let's talk about, first of all, the meaning of the word. And I'm going to give you, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to give you the Greek word. And now, some hardcore Ruckmanites, they don't want to hear the Greek word, but I got to tell you, when Paul gave it to the Ephesians, he gave them the Greek word. Is it okay if I give you the Greek word? Here's what that Greek word, submitting, and so often in the New Testament we see that word submit or be in subjection, be subject to. When we see that word, here's the word. It's a two-part word. The first part of that word is hupo. Hupo. Or in English we pronounce it hypo. We get English words such as hypodermic. What's a hypodermic needle? It's a needle that goes under the dermis, under the skin. Hupo, hypo, it means under. Under. I know a lady, she was afflicted with hypothyroidism. Her thyroid was underactive. Under. Hupo is under. Now the word is hupo, by the way, look at it in English. That word in verse, 21. Submitting. What's sub mean? Under. And then so the word is hupotasso. Hupotasso. What's tasso? That word tasso means an orderly arrangement. We get our word taxonomy. An orderly arrangement. Or taxidermy. You know what a taxidermist is? He's one that takes the dermis, the skin of an animal, and arranges it. Tasso, an orderly arrangement. And it's actually a Greek military word. The arrangement of rank in the military would be called a tasso in the Greek. And so, hupotasso means under rank. Submit means under rank. Rank under, rank below, rank beneath. That's what the actual word means. Can you imagine an army where nobody ranks above or below anybody else?
No.
Can you, thank you. Can you imagine how effective, or maybe I should say ineffective, how much anarchy there would be in such an army, in such a military unit? Well, what's true for a military is true for any organized human endeavor. Whether it's the home, whether it's the church, whether it's the workplace, whether it's civil government, there has to be literally a ranking under and a ranking over. There has to be an orderly arrangement, and somebody has to underrank somebody else. Verse 22, wives, underrank yourselves. Rank yourselves under your husbands, etc. Or in James 4, verse 7, rank yourselves under God. That's why they added to the Pledge of Allegiance many years ago, one nation under God. It didn't mean physically under because God's in heaven and we're on earth below. It means ranking under. The hupotassel, the meaning of the word is to rank under. Anytime there is more than one person trying to get something done and get it done right, there has to be submission by someone. This idea, whether it's the hippie commune, whether it's full communism in action, whatever, that everybody can be of equal rank and equal, it doesn't work. It's been tried over and over and it doesn't work. You want your family to prosper and move forward? Somebody's got to start submitting. You want your church to prosper and move forward and be effective? Somebody's got to start submitting. You want your country? Hey, I want to make America great again. Well, Americans ought to start submitting again. That's the meaning of the word. Let's talk about the meaning of the idea. The meaning of the idea. Let me say this, and I want to be very clear. Submission is not a matter of inequality or equality. It's not a matter of value. It's not a matter of worth. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of capability. I get so tired of hearing the world say, and even hearing professing Christians point at Bible believers and say, if you think that wives should submit to husbands, then that's because you think women are inferior to men. That is such stupid nonsense. You think they're less intelligent. You think they're less capable. You think they're not of equal worth. You think they're some kind of subhuman. Hey, don't be so stupid. I never heard anybody say, if you think children should submit to parents, then you think children are inferior to parents. I never heard anybody say that. I never heard anybody say, if you think sergeants should submit to lieutenants, then you think sergeants aren't as valuable as lieutenants. I never heard anybody say, if you think employees should submit to employers, then you think employees are of less value than employers. I never heard anybody say that. So then why does somebody say, if you think wives should submit to husbands, then you think women are inferior to men? Don't be so stupid. Walk into an Army barracks or walk into a Marine Corps barracks, walk into an Air Force barracks and say, hey, all you maggots, because you gotta obey the brass, that means you're inferior to them. And then turn around and run real fast. Because that's what you're gonna have to do. You're gonna have a fight on your hands. Submission is not a matter of equality, of value, of worth, of intelligence, of capability. Submission is a matter of order. God is a God of order. And God created this universe to be a universe of order. And God created the human heart to reflect that order. Now, I know none of you ever had that stupid idea because none of you are stupid. None of you ever have any stupid ideas. I'm the only one in this room that ever has stupid ideas. I know that. But if you run into somebody with that stupid idea, I just want to show you some Bible you can give them. I know you don't need it, but you can give it to them. Hold your place here in Ephesians and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So somebody says, oh, if you submit, that means that you're inferior. Whoever submits, you're saying that they're inferior if they have to submit. Luke chapter 2. Let's just examine that from the standpoint of the Bible. You know what happens in the last half of Luke chapter 2? Jesus, at 12 years old, goes with Mary and Joseph and his four or five other brothers and sisters. He had other brothers and sisters. Mary and Joseph had children after Jesus was born, contrary to what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They went down to Jerusalem to the feast. And you know what happened? Jesus stayed in the temple and confounded the doctors of the law with his knowledge and so forth. And they came back and got him, and they went back to Nazareth. And look at the very, very end of the chapter, verse 51 of Luke 2. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. That's our word. Subject. That's hupotasso. That's our word. That's submit. Jesus submitted to Mary and Joseph. And you say, well, submitting means he was inferior. Hey, no! Jesus created Mary and Joseph. He was not inferior to them. Well, submitting means he wasn't as smart as... No! Jesus knew everything Mary and Joseph knew. Jesus knew everything Mary and Joseph didn't know. Jesus knew everything there was to know. Well, you say submitting means he's less capable than them. No, Jesus knew every mistake they ever made, and yet he never made one. Well, I don't want to submit. Are you better than Jesus?
Nope.
The meaning of the idea, it's not a matter of worth, value, equality, inferiority, intelligence, capability. It's a matter of order. We've seen the meaning of the word. We've seen the meaning of the idea. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't understand submission. Let's look at the meaning of the instruction. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at the meaning of the instruction. Look at verse 21 again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves. In James 4:7, our text we originally read, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Almost everywhere that we find this instruction, find teaching about in the Bible about submission, it's submit yourself. It's not something, somebody else's responsibility to bring you into submission.
Right.
Submit yourselves. Wherever you're supposed to submit, whether it's to God, whether it's to somebody else, or whatever you're supposed to submit in, whatever area you're supposed to submit, submit yourself. Look, it's not a wrestling match. Or a UFC fight they're gonna put you in a submission hold until you finally tap out and submit. That's not the way it's to work. It's a matter
of your attitude. It's a matter of how you view yourself in the relationship. Do you rank under? Do you rank under God? Do you rank under the human that you're to submit to?
It's puzzling to me that a wife who won't submit to the man at home has no trouble at work submitting to the man in the corner office. Why? Because of the way she views herself in that relationship. It's so silly that the church member that won't submit to the pastor or to church leadership has no trouble submitting to the government, submitting to an employer, submitting everywhere else. They realize that in those relationships they underrank. The meaning of the instruction is simply this: submit yourself. You have to view yourself rightly in the relationship. Realize you underrank in that relationship. You determine in your mind that God has made an order and here is my place in it. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't understand submission. Perhaps you don't submit, number two, because you don't know the scope of submission. Look again at verse 21 in Ephesians 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now verse 22 and following, starting with wives, submit yourselves. Verse 22, all the way down to chapter 6, verse 9. We see wives and husbands. We see children and parents. We see employee and employer, or servant and master. That entire context now is explaining submitting yourselves one to another, which is itself explaining being filled with the Spirit. But every single person discussed in that passage, the wife and the husband, the child and the parent, the employee and the employer, every single person in that passage here is in some way submitting one to another. Let me explain that. In verses 22 to 24, the wife submits to the husband in leadership, but watch verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The wife submits to the husband in leadership. The husband submits to the wife in priority. How do I know that's submission? Because you don't want to do it. A husband don't feel like doing that. You don't want to lay aside your hobbies, husband, long enough to meet your wife's need. You don't want to turn off the TV long enough to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, verse 26. Jesus Christ gave himself in death for his bride, the church. You may not have to die for your bride, husband, but will you give yourself in life for her? Well, I'd take a bullet for my wife. You won't even get up off the couch for your wife half the time. Don't tell me you'd give your life for your wife if you won't give your living for your wife. If you won't even work to better yourself so you can bring home a bigger, a better, more comfortable paycheck. Don't tell me you'd give yourself for your wife. You won't even give up porn and looking at women walking down the street for your wife. Don't tell me you'd give your life for your wife if your honey do list is more like a honey don't bug me list. Don't tell me you'd give your life for your wife if you're not giving yourself in life to her. Christ loved the church and gave himself. The wife submits in leadership. The husband submits in priority. And we could go down through this passage. We could go down parents, children, employers, employees. If you read it very carefully, you'll see why parents are to treat children right, why employers are to treat employees right. This is all in the context of verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Each relationship that you have on this earth is a relationship in one way or another of submitting. We're all submitting in one way or another, one to another. But perhaps you don't submit because you don't understand the scope of submission. Every single one of us has to submit, not only to God, but also to one another. Still in Ephesians 5, let me say this, just briefly. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Explanation of filled with the Spirit includes verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Perhaps you don't submit because you're not Spirit-filled. The Spirit-filled state is supposed to be the normal state of every Christian. It's not some special situation. It is to be the norm. It's a command that we're to be filled with the Spirit. That includes every single Christian, not just preachers, not just soul winners, not, we're to be filled with the Spirit. That's the normal state.
Verse 21 again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's point number 4. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't fear God. Well, there's really a lack of the fear of God. And by the way, part of the reason is because it's been whitewashed. Oh, fear of God, fear of God. Oh, that's just a holy reverence for God. It's fear of God. I don't think that the Israelite that came to Mount Sinai and saw the thunderings and the quakings and the lightning and said, Moses, you go talk to God. We're going to go cower over. I don't think they would have said, oh, fear of God. That's just a holy reverence for God. That's all that means. I don't think any Christian that's ever experienced chastisement say, oh, the fear of God. That's just a holy reverence for God. That's all that means. By the way, when the Bible says in Hebrews 10, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, that's not written to the unbeliever, that's to the believer. We've whitewashed the fear of God. We've somehow gotten rid of the idea that God, yeah, God is love. God is love, but God is also holy. And God is also just. Best illustration, I got time, I'll give it. The best illustration I've heard of the fear of God is electricity. Yes. You all came into this room tonight and you noticed that the lights were on. It's wired for electricity. And I didn't see any of you cowering in the corner because of that. But that's because you understand how electricity works. But you also know you don't lick your finger and stick it in a light bulb. You understand how God works. God is love, but you also know you don't spit in God's face. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't fear God. Come back to James now and look at verse 6 in James chapter 4. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't understand submission. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't know the scope of submission. Perhaps you don't submit because you're not spirit-filled. Perhaps you don't submit because you don't fear God. Number 5, perhaps you don't submit because you don't realize your need of grace. Chapter 4 of James, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, we need God's grace in every aspect of our lives. We need God's grace in everything that we do. Moses spelled it out very well for the children of Israel. If you'll turn with me, if you'll indulge me and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, the fifth book of the Bible in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses gave, Deuteronomy is a repeating of the law. Moses gave the law in Exodus and Leviticus and so forth. And in Deuteronomy, just before Moses passed off the scene and just before Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, Moses repeated the law for them. And he's coming to the conclusion here, and he's summing it up in chapter 30. And down at verse 15, he says this, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Like James said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I've set before you life and good, and I've set before you death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Boy, I'm glad we got a choice. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now here's what he's summing up. He's told them, if you will submit, your crops will bring forth abundantly. I'll rebuke the locust and the grasshopper and the devourer. I'll rebuke the fungus and the things that eat up the crops. And your shoes will last longer on your feet. And your clothes will last longer. And your chariot will run faster. And your house will keep the rain off your head. And I'll bring rain when it's time to rain, and I'll bring sun when it's time for sun. And I'll bless your family. But if you don't submit, the locusts will swarm your crops, and you'll fill your bag with money and find out your bag is full of holes. And your enemies, I'm not gonna stop them at your border. This is what Moses is saying. This is what James is saying. God resisteth the proud, actively opposes the proud. Not just in that one area that they don't submit in, but in their whole life. And giveth grace to the humble, not just in those areas that they submit in, but in their whole life. Listen. Moses says you got a choice. Choose life. You say, why is my life not working? Why is everything falling apart? How's your submission? I want my car to run right and last a long time. Well, get it serviced regularly, change the oil, rotate the tires, drive carefully, and submit. I want my health to be good. Well, eat right, exercise, be careful with the things that you do, and submit. I want my finances to be right. Well, spend less than you make. Have a budget. Save. And submit. I want grace in my life. Submit. Do you realize how much grace you need just for the next breath you take to work right? Just for the next beat of your heart to pump the blood through your body? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Do you want resistance from God? Active opposition from God in everything you do? Or do you want grace? Perhaps you don't submit because you don't realize your need of grace. Back to James 4. Last point. What is this? Number 6. Perhaps you don't submit because you're confused about the result of submission. Maybe you think, well, if I submit, that means I lose. You know, like a wrestling match. Like, I know none of you watch UFC. I've only watched it once or twice. Didn't really care for it, but I did see a submission hold. One guy locked up another guy and held him until he finally tapped, and then the guy that submitted lost the match. You think that's how submission works? If I submit, I lose. Well, first of all, Do you really want to go around the rest of your life viewing all of your relationships as a contest? Do you really want to go around viewing God as your adversary, viewing your spouse as your adversary, and everybody else that you're supposed to submit to as your adversary? Do you really want to go around like that? It's not a matter of whether or not you lose. In fact, when you submit, you don't lose, you win. The flesh loses. The devil loses. The world loses. But you win, God wins, and the person you're supposed to submit to wins. How great a victory can that be? You say, submitting is a put down. Well, look at James chapter 4, look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That sounds like submission. And he shall lift you up. Perhaps you don't submit because you're confused about the result of submission. You think I lose. You think it's a put down. No, he shall lift you up. You win. What was the result? What was the result of Jesus' submission? We read it in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself, even became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because he did that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He didn't lose because he submitted. He won. Submission is not losing. Submission is not a put down. Submission is a great victory. You're claiming the triumph that Jesus already won when he submitted. Why don't you submit? Why is your walk with God so unstable, so antagonistic at times, so unlike the sweet walk that other Christians have written hymns about and that other Christians testify about? Why are your relationships on earth filled with strife, trying to wrestle for the dominance? Why is your marriage a constant battle, perhaps? Why don't you submit? Perhaps because you don't understand submission. Rank under. Do it yourself. It doesn't imply some kind of inferiority. Maybe it's because you don't know the scope of submission, submitting yourselves one to another. Perhaps you're not spirit-filled. Perhaps you don't fear God. Perhaps you don't realize your need of grace in every area of your life. Perhaps you're concerned, or pardon me, confused about the result of submission. If I submit, I lose. No, you don't. If you submit, everybody wins except the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's a win. Why don't you submit? Clinic's closed. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, for our time in the Word of God tonight, and I just pray that you would help us in this area to understand more of what your Word says. Father, we want to submit. Our flesh gets in the way. Lord, help the Spirit, Lord God, to bring the flesh into submission. Bless, I pray, as we seek to understand more and more about this. In Jesus' name.